In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm sure some of you were relieved when you heard Jesus say that it's difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven, because most of us here can say, well, I'm not rich, so maybe that's good news for me, right? Well, no, unfortunately, that's not good news, because what is being expressed here is not speaking simply about material wealth, but about something deeper, as we can see from what Jesus said in this conversation that he had with the young man that preceded what we heard about Jesus saying how difficult it is for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And to understand this passage, I think it's important for us, as it is with most of the Gospels, for us to understand the epistles. You see, I learned this in seminary when no one necessarily said it explicitly, but it became apparent to me that, you know, the epistles being written before the Gospels, and just in general, laying things out less in parable form, we could learn a great deal by studying the epistles and then understanding the Gospels in light of what we learn in those. And we'll see what is happening today is that Jesus is talking not about material wealth, about how much money that we have, about how many things in this world that we possess, but he's speaking rather about self-righteousness. He's speaking about us thinking that we possess our good deeds, and that somehow that is going to earn us a seat in the kingdom of heaven. And the passage that I want to refer to today, and before we come back to Matthew's gospel, is taken from Philippians 3, where St. Paul tells the Philippians, he speaks in very difficult terms, he speaks in harsh terms, he says, "Beware of dogs." Now, St. Paul doesn't usually speak that way, so you know when he says that, he means something serious. "Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation." What is he speaking about, the mutilation? He's talking about those who believe that one must be circumcised to be part of God's covenant community. "For we," St. Paul says, "we are the circumcision, the church, the people who put their faith, their trust in God, whether they be circumcised in the body or not. We are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, who rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. If anyone else thinks that he may have confidence in the flesh, I more so. Circumcised on the eighth day." This is important because it's according to the Mosaic law. "Circumcised on the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, from which comes the first king. A Hebrew of Hebrews. Concerning the law, a Pharisee." Well, what did we hear when Jesus taught us? He said that you should do the law as the Pharisees do, but don't behave as they do, with the same self-righteousness. So St. Paul was very strict in his observance of the Mosaic law. "Concerning zeal, persecuting the church." We know that St. Paul first persecuted the church. He was against the way of Christ. "Concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless." Again, he had been as strict according to the Mosaic law as one could be. "But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as shit, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. You see here the weak translations in English talk about it as rubbish, but St. Paul says he counts his own righteousness as shit. In other words, well, you get the point. He doesn't look upon it highly. Again, St. Paul uses severe language here. It's the only time that he swears. And he talks about the dogs, and he mocks those who would be circumcised, calling them the mutilation. Why? Because of how serious a business that he's talking about here in this passage, which is giving up the idea of our own righteousness, of our own good deeds, of our own possessions. And that's why we hear this conversation that Jesus has with the young man. It begins by Jesus questioning, "Why do you call me good teacher?" Jesus, of all people, "Why are you calling me good? There is one who is good, and that is God." So Jesus sets the example right from the beginning. And then this man asks him the question, "What can I do to be righteous?" And Jesus begins by telling him essentially, "Keep the commandments. Keep the Mosaic law." And the man, much like Paul would have done, says, "Well, I did that," thinking, "I'm good. Jesus confirmed it for me." And Jesus says, "No, you have to give that up. You have to sell what you have and you have to give to the poor." What does that mean? The poor in the Gospels are often the Gentiles, the ones who have none of the riches of the Mosaic law, none of the riches of the covenant community. We hear about this. I have explained to those of you who have been around for the 15 or 16 times I've preached about it, the parable of the rich man and Lazarus, how I wrote my thesis, my master's thesis, on the fact that Lazarus, this poor man, represents the Gentiles. And so it is here, that this man who has been perfect according to the Mosaic law has to be like Paul and has to count that perfection as nothing, as rubbish, for the sake of the righteousness which is found in Christ. And this is why the apostles say to Jesus afterwards, "Who can be saved? If this guy comes to us and he has been perfect according to the Mosaic law, who can be saved?" And that's why Jesus answers them, "With men, it's impossible, but with God, it's possible. Because God is the one who saves us. For us, it's impossible." So what is the moral of the story here for us, brothers and sisters? The moral of the story is that we have to give up this idea, this notion that we all have, myself included, deep inside of us, that somehow we are going to chip in for our salvation, that somehow we're going to add a little bit to what Christ has done for us, that somehow we are going to be just a little bit worthy of His kingdom. And this, giving this up, brothers and sisters, is actually where we as human beings receive true freedom. Because just like Paul said, what is the struggle of our life? I want to do good, but when I want to do good, I still end up doing evil. And we all face that struggle. And what Jesus is telling us, and what the gospel is telling us, is that it is okay to give up on the fact that we are not going to be perfect. Because in giving up on that fact, we are putting our trust in God and in His righteousness, and not in our own selves and in our own deeds. So that's what Jesus is teaching us today. And He speaks not to us who are rich in terms of if we go look at our bank account or our land holdings or whatever it may be, or a certain amount of money that we think makes someone rich. He's speaking to me and you who are here in the church today, because we are trying to do good. We are trying to do right by God. And that is a good thing if we're willing to give up the idea that somehow we can pitch in, we can earn our salvation. And of course, we must at the same time remember, brothers and sisters, that just as we give up on our own righteousness and seek the righteousness of Christ, we also have to give up on our spouse, our neighbor, our enemy, and their righteousness. They're not going to be righteous either. And we have to offer them the same forgiveness. We have to trust and apply to them the mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, just as we apply it to ourselves. So may the Lord help us, those of us who try to seek after righteousness, may He help us to give up on that endeavor and trust in His righteousness, so that we may be truly free and may share that freedom with others. To Him be all glory, honor, and worship unto the ages of ages. Amen.